All right, Proverbs chapter 1, and like I mentioned before, please excuse my voice tonight. We'll read verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So what we're going to do is we're going to begin our approach to the book of Proverbs. Actually entitled this series, Proverting Through Proverbs, Wisdom for Daily Living. I made up a word there. And because we're really not going to do everything verse by verse. For one thing, it'd be very profitable for us to do that, but I have a flesh that is frail and weak. I don't know that I could do a whole exposition verse by verse through Proverbs. It might take us 5 or 6, 7 years to do that, maybe. And the other thing is, and this has happened to me before, one time I was going to preach through the harmony of the life of Christ. And I'm just going to confess this to you, but after 3 years I was bored. I was just bored with the series, bored with not the passages per se, but just doing it day in, day out, week in, week out. And so I don't want to do that to either me or to you, okay? But what I do want to do is increase your hunger and increase your thirst to perhaps do it yourself. We're going to go through here. I'm hoping to be through by the end of the year, actually right before Thanksgiving, and to be able to go through this section. And what I want to do tonight is talk a little bit and introduce it to us, and then conclude with just looking at a little outline, pretty detailed outline of the book that I think you might find as interesting as I found it. And so when you approach Proverbs, I think most people approach it, you know, and they want to get, you know, pretty good commentary on it. The problem with the Old Testament is that conservative people and even pastors have not done that much work in the Old Testament. So when you go to pick up an Old Testament commentary, you have to be very, very careful in picking it up, because the vast majority of the commentaries are written by what I would call theological liberals. And so these are not people that believe the Bible as we would hold to the Bible, but, you know, they may say something like this: well, you know, they don't like this vowel pointing on the Hebrew word, so they'll just change it, you know, or they'll say, well, we like this translation better, let's just change it. And that's not really a theological conservative approach, even though in some cases there might be some validity of doing that on an extremely rare case. But I do want to recommend to you a book that I think would be good for your in your library. Not only is it good for your library, it even looks good. Okay, it's a nice purple cover, my favorite color. And it's written by Peter Stevenson. That's not Stevenson, it's Stevenson. And he, I don't know if he still is, but he was a professor at Bob Jones University. He's actually written about 5 different books on the Old Testament, and they're all pretty good. I haven't read much in his one on Isaiah. I do have it coming. I want to read through that on Isaiah. But he is not afraid to just loudly proclaim, I am a fundamentalist. In fact, in the introduction, he writes, and I'm not quoting, he says, I am writing from a fundamentalist approach. You never read that in a commentary anywhere. And so I'd recommend this to you, and having not read a lot from him, but a little of him, and seeing the way he handles it, I think you'd be safe really to get anything by him. And let me just say this, because this is put out by Bob Jones University Press, there's a good chance this book will go out of print. Okay, if you're not, you know, if you're not with Moody or Zondervan, if you don't have a name out of evangelicals, if you don't have a bunch of theological liberals recommending your book and all this type of thing, it's really hard to maintain publication today. And so if you could save some pennies and pick that up, I just commend that to you. Proverbs is one of those things where you read it and you think you got it, but it's always good to go check and see what other biblically trained, conservative men, fundamentalist men, have written. And as you well know, one of the faults of fundamentalism is we don't write. Okay, and I think there's some valid reasons why we don't write. There are some fundamentalists I wouldn't want writing, but in any case, this would be an excellent, excellent book for you to pick up. And it would do good on a family devotion type thing if your children were older, you know, to go through something like this. So I just recommend that to you. And because, like I said, it's hard to find theologically conservative, certainly not theologically fundamentalist publications. And if you want to get the ISBN number or something like that, it's up here for you to take a look at. I also want to introduce what we just passed out to you, and that is what I call proverbing through Proverbs, wisdom for daily living. And this is a little schedule. This is a guideline. This isn't, I didn't get this up on top of Mount Sinai. But a little guideline for us that I think might be helpful for us as we go through. You'll see the date. That's the date where we actually want to cover several verses in the chapters that are indicated. So on Wednesday, August 5th, you'll see chapters 1 through 3. I decided not to start at chapter 10, but just start from the beginning of the book and cover a little bit more material. It's a little bit more reading, but honestly, you've got a whole week to cover these verses. And if you say, well, there's 25 verses per chapter, I know some are more, some are less. But 75 verses in 7 days is how many verses a day, Walter? Yep.
5 days? 15.
7 days.
Oh, in 7 days. 10, 20.
We'll round up to 12, okay? 10 to 12 verses. If you read 10 to 12 verses every day, right, you could do 3 chapters. Can we do that? I know we're doing our Bible reading. That's a large chunk, okay? But you could do this, okay? And so we go right down through there, chapters 1 through 3 on Wednesday, August 5th. And then the following Wednesday, chapters 4 through 5 and on, all the way down through November 18th. I think that's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, if I recall properly. Now, that may fluctuate a little bit. My goal, like I said before, is to finish by the end of the year. And so that gives a little buffer in there, right, in case we get hung up. I don't think we will. I try to do 2 chapters a week, okay? So that's 50 verses, just averaging that out. It'd be about 8 verses, 7 verses a day if you wanted to do it that way. I couldn't do it that way. Okay, and I just had to sit down and read it, okay, because I just can't go back in, get the context, you know, and keep flowing. But in any case, you can judge yourself on how that you want to do that. And I'm asking that we have a whole church participation on this, okay? And several reasons for doing that, because I would like to have your input on this, because like I said, I'm not going to go through every verse and every chapter for this. Most of the time, when men do Proverbs, they typically do the first 9 chapters. Okay? And why is that? Yeah, it's a little narrative, right? You got a little line going through the whole thing. Whereas once you get to chapter 10, you just have one proverb, another proverb. Maybe 2 verses will be one proverb, but that's pretty rare as you go through. And so anyway, if we would do that, now we have tonight, and then we have next Wednesday. And what I'm going to do tonight and next Wednesday is introduce the overriding theme of the book of Proverbs. Okay, and that's given to us in the first 7 verses, and I'll try to cover that just in points as we get down to the end of this. Then on August 5th, what we'll want to do is, like I said, church-wide participation, and encourage those who aren't here to participate. I'll talk about this on the Lord's Day. But we have this marvelous thing today called technology. And if someone's unable to be here, they can actually listen to the message because it's available. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yes, you're missing out on something unique in the gathering of the church, but if you can't have that, have the next best thing. Okay, and so encourage those who aren't here to participate with this. And so everybody participating, everybody reading together, everybody communicating to me. Okay, you'll see on the right-hand side, it says, give the pastor 2 to 3 verses that you desire further understanding for the Wednesday service by the Lord's Day prior. Okay, so August 5th is when we're going to start this, chapters 1 through 3. When would you give me your note or your text or your email by? August 2nd, right? The Sunday before that. Now, you can send it earlier, okay? I'll collect them, okay? But at least have it by then. And then, that way, when we come, everybody be ready for the midweek study. You don't know what verses I'm going to do, okay? But inside, you can say, yes, he picked mine, okay? And get pretty excited about that. So is that pretty understandable, okay? Now, this is only going to work if you do it with me, okay? If you read it with me, if you take the little time to say, boy, I don't know what that means, or I think this verse has stumped the pastor, or, you know, whatever, and, you know, Greg will probably pick the most difficult, hard-to-translate verse in the whole book, okay? But anyway, and give that to me, or give it to my wife on the Lord's Day, I'll be deeply indebted to you, okay? Email's fine, text is fine, all those avenues are there for you to use. Then you have, on the sheet, you have a little column called done, okay? That's not done like, okay, we're done with that week, Walter, okay? It's done because you what?
You read it.
Okay, you did it. You read the chapters, you gave me the note, then you can check done, okay? And so so I think that's pretty explanatory on there. But if you have any questions about that, you can get with me after the service for that, okay? I'm pretty excited about doing this. I did chapters 1 through 9, not right after I got saved, but I heard somebody say, you know, Proverbs is a chapter a day for a month. And I thought, well, that's a good thing. And they said, it's to give you wisdom. And I said, yeah, I'm stupid, so that's exactly what I need. And so I decided to go through that. And I still had the Bible where I put all my marks and everything. At that point, I don't even think I knew about Strong's Concordance. Okay, so this is way back there. And so I had red lines and everything. And the bad thing about it is some water got into it. And so I have red all over the place with that. But you can still read it. And back then, I could write really, really tiny. And I have little tiny notes. I got descriptions of strange women, descriptions of strange men. I have all this all over my Bible. It was wide margin, had a little margin like this all the way around. So in any case, looking forward for us doing this. All right, let me introduce you a little bit here to the book before we go to our prayer time. This book, Proverbs, could be worded many ways. One commentator worded it this way. Proverbs is the mind of God for daily living. Proverbs is the mind of God for daily living. I'm not sure I really like that phrase, but I think what he's emphasizing is this is God's mind about things that we encounter every day in our life that we need wisdom about. You need more wisdom about things than you realize you need wisdom for. And so one commentator's called it that, the mind of God for daily living. But I like the way Stevenson worded it, because this is kind of down to earth. He says, Proverbs is Christianity in overalls. Do you know what overalls are? You know what overalls are? Okay. You know, in other words, it's right out there like a farmer in the dirt, right? I mean, it's right out there in daily living. The book is a random collection of proverbs. And in fact, you probably, as you read through it, I remember my wife and I, when we were hearing our home church pastor preach through it, and he was doing it every verse, okay? And I remember it got down, and we read this proverb, eat much honey. My wife said, and I looked at each other and said, you know, that's what the Bible says. We don't eat honey. So we went out and ate honey. We ate it and ate it. Well, you know what happened? Well, the next week, he was further on the chapter and says, don't eat much honey. We said, we got that one down. Okay. And so, you know, sometimes it seems like those proverbs contradict, right? But what it's telling you is this, that one proverb is applicable to a certain situation, and the other proverb, which you think is contradictory, is also applicable, but to a different what? A different situation. And it's up to life for life to provide us the situations in which to apply this wisdom to. And the book seems to have a lack of unity, doesn't it? I mean, it just seems like, you know, except for the first nine chapters and you go on, it seems like there's a lack of unity. But in reality, Stevenson writes, there is a spiritual unity that drives through the book. And that is the Lord, or the authors of the book, are applying a test to everything in life. And the test is this: is this wisdom or is this folly? Okay, that's the test that they're applying to actions in every sphere of life. And what you'll find through the book of Proverbs is that wise conduct will always reflect godly behavior. Because God is all wise, right? So if God is all wise, then wisdom would reflect godly behavior. And you will find, as the commentator writes, that godly behavior is always the wise path for us to go. So that's a win-win. And on the opposite side of the coin, foolish conduct always reflects wicked behavior. And wicked behavior is always foolish. Okay, but man thinks wicked behavior is what? Wise. Okay, it's the exact opposite. So that's where the unity of the book is this one truth that's going through this whole thing. We're applying this to every situation of life. Is this wise? Is this foolish or folly? If it's wise, it reflects God in his behavior, right? If it's foolish, then it reflects foolish behavior, wicked behavior. And these proverbs, if we would learn them and integrate them into our everyday life, they will guide us in how we ought to live. It will be a kind of a little bumper pad in life that will keep you on the pathway of righteousness. Now, the interesting thing, one of the interesting things about this book, it has one single author, which is God, but it has multiple human authors. Okay, it just doesn't have one human author. If you look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1, you'll see right away that one of the authors is who? Solomon. It's Solomon. It says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Okay? And we're going to note later, we'll actually look at the passage, but later on in the book, it says that a certain group of men under the reign of Hezekiah actually added to the book more of Solomon's proverbs that they had. That's fascinating, isn't it? Okay, so you have this collection, then it was added to, and then you have this guy that I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing it right, Agur, and he writes some in here, and Lemuel, and there's some controversy about that, but that person writes something in here, and then there's this last few verses in Proverbs about the virtuous woman, right? Which is an acrostic. And it starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, goes the next verse is the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and goes all the way through the whole alphabet. And some people think that Lemuel wrote that, but other people think that, no, it may have been an unknown author. Okay, so there's at least Solomon, the men of Hezekiah were involved in the collection of this book, Agur, Lemuel, and possibly one other person. That's five different people that are involved in the collection of these Proverbs. Now, in general, I'm speaking very generally, the first 24 chapters of the book of Proverbs were recorded by Solomon. Just like verse 1 of chapter 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. We're not sure whether he actually wrote them down or whether someone took them down for him, but they are actually recorded by Solomon or at his direction. And he reigned, now think about this, he reigned 970 to 930 BC. So that's some 3,000 years ago. And these Proverbs are still what? They're still with us, right? Isn't that amazing? And then starting in chapter 25, the men of Hezekiah collected. Turn over to chapter 25. We'll actually read that. Proverbs 25 and verse 1. It says, these also are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, transcribed. Okay, so here we have another section in the book, and these were collected from chapter 25 onward. These were collected, are you ready for this? Some 200 years later than the first 24 chapters. Okay, now they were Proverbs of Solomon, right? But they weren't all collected in a book that we know of called Proverbs. I mean, our country is just over, what, 260 something? I'm not calculating right, but not that long over 200 years, right? And so these men collected. Then you have the what is called by almost all commentators the appendix to the book of Proverbs, chapter 25 through 29, and then you have chapter 30, and you have chapter 31, which are clearly different authors, right, and seem to be kind of an appendix to the book. So as far as the book collected is concerned, for 200 years, you had the first 24 chapters, and then you had other Proverbs that were out and about. And then you had the men of Hezekiah collect all those other Proverbs of Solomon and put those down, chapters 25 through 29. And then you had these two other men, which we don't know when that was added. But my guess would be it would probably be sometime close to King Hezekiah's time. So that's quite amazing when you start thinking about that. And then, of course, you've got the acrostic poem of the virtuous woman, of which we're not quite sure who did that, okay? But usually acrostics, can you name a psalm that's an acrostic? Pretty familiar? 119, okay, I think it's 8 verses. Am I wrong about that? I think it's 8 verses that have the start of the appropriate Hebrew letter. And they say that was done to help in memorization. Okay, so if that's true, Proverbs 31, that acrostic of the virtuous woman would be something that would be taught to who? Yes. To children, especially which gender?
Female.
The female, the daughter that is there. And so you have this general outline that I've just given you. Now let's look at the outline in detail. Okay, go back to Proverbs 1 and verse 1. And there is some controversy here whether the introduction to the book is the first 7 verses or the first 6. I think it's the first 7. And so you have the aim of that. Now let's just read that. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's kind of the preamble or the introduction to the book. It's telling us the aim of the book of Proverbs. It's telling us characteristics of a wise man. And it's telling us that the very foundation of becoming a wise person is what? What do you think the foundation? If I say to myself, I want to be a wise person, where do I start? Fear of the Lord. Okay. Now, when I say the fear of the Lord, you ought to have a lot of scripture coming into your mind. We have a whole psalm that the psalmist teaches us what the fear of the Lord is. We've been going through 1 Peter, where he's been applying that psalm, right, all through this in our injustices of this life. So for me to say the fear of the Lord, there ought to be a flood of knowledge coming into your mind and into your heart because of that. Well, that's the foundation of everything. If a man does not fear the Lord, he cannot be wise. Now think about that. You got lost people claiming to be wise. And the Bible says there is no fear of God before their eyes. Are they wise? No. Sometimes we'll say, oh, that person, they're a wise person, but they're not a regenerated, genuine believer. They're not really wise. They're wise in evil, but not wise in the things of the Lord. And so you have that preamble or that introduction. We'll come back to that. Then in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, all the way through the end of chapter 18, we have 10 discussions about wisdom. And let's just look at those 10 discussions, because every one of those discussions start with something. See if you can pick this up. Look in verse 8. It says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Everybody see that? Look in chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. Look in chapter 3 and verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Look in chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Look in chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. All right, how are all these discussions about wisdom starting out? My what? My son. This is a father's instruction. So where is wisdom to be first of all taught? In the home. And we know from Hebrews that when you read my son or my sons, it is God talking to his children. He's our father, is he not? Hebrews 12 said, you've forgotten the admonition which speaks to us as unto sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. And so we have chapter 4 and verse 1. We have the next discussion, chapter 4 and verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Again, chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Proverbs 5, verse 1. My son, give attention to wisdom. Incline your ear to understanding. Chapter 6, verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. And then in chapter 7 and verse 1, my son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. And that goes all the way in to the end of chapter 9. You have 10 instructions Those instructions are coming from who? A father to the son. And basically what he's telling the son is this. Learn to listen. Now, when you had children for the first time, you quickly learned that your child need to be taught how to listen. Mm-hmm. Do you know God's people need to be taught how to listen? And having listened, we are to learn it, right? And having learned it, we are to do it. And having done it, we are not to stop doing it. In other words, being wise isn't doing something wise one time. It's walking in wisdom. And so you have in Proverbs chapter 1, all the way, verse 8, all the way to the end of chapter 9, 10 discussions. And this is very helpful when we're talking about raising children, right? I remember going through these with my children. Then starting in Proverbs 10, verse 1, all the way through the end of chapter 24, there are those who see this as one section. There are those who see it as three. The first section then would go from chapter 10, verse 1, all the way down to chapter 22, in verse 16. So if you go all the way to chapter 22 and verse 16, that would be one discussion. Those are Proverbs of Solomon. And then in verse 17, it says this. Incline your ear and hear, not the Proverbs of Solomon, but hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. So chapter 22, verse 17, all the way through chapter 24, verse 22, are the words of the wise that are given. Then in chapter 24, verse 23, you'll see again the words of the wise. These also are sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judgment is not good. Okay, our nation needs to hear that verse, right? And so you've got three sections there. Then we read Proverbs 25, verse 1. Then we have this collection by the men of Hezekiah that was transcribed all the way through the end of chapter 29. And then chapter 30, verse 1. Everybody still with me? Chapter 30, verse 1. Okay. It says, the words of Agur, the son of Jekek, the oracle. And so we have that in chapter 30. Then chapter 31, it starts out, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle, which his mother taught him. And then, of course, in chapter 31 and verse 10, you got the virtuous woman. Okay? So here's what we have, if you've been trying to write this down. We got Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 7. That's the what? That's the introduction, okay? Gives us the aim and the characteristics and the foundation of wisdom. Then the second is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 through the end of chapter 9. Those are 10 discussions of wisdom. Then we have chapter 10 and verse 1 through the end of chapter 24. And some people see in there three sections. The first section ends in chapter 22, verse 16. The next section ends in chapter 24, verse 22. And then it ends at the end of chapter 24. Then you have Proverbs 25 through 29. That's the men of Hezekiah. Then you got the appendix. Proverbs 30, Proverbs 31, and possibly the virtuous woman. That would be three appendixes there if you went that route. Okay? So that kind of lays out the book. You do see there's more than one human what? More than one human author. It's a collection of the sayings of the wise. And let's conclude by going back to chapter 1, verse 1. The first four verses give us the aim of the book. The aim of the book is for us to come to know, verse 2, wisdom and instruction, come to know, to discern the sayings of understanding, verse 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior, which is comprised of what three things? Righteousness, justice, and equity. And then in verse 4, to give prudence to the naive and to the youth, what? Knowledge and discretion. Okay. That's the aim. Coming out of this book, okay, because we do have young people here, right? Coming out of this book, they should have more knowledge and more discretion. Or as we would say, they're more mature. Okay. But we also are children. And we are naive, are we not? We should be coming out with more knowledge and discretion. Everybody see that? First four verses. There's your aim. Then in verses 5 and 6, you have the characteristics of a wise person. How would you know that you're a wise person? Well, look at verse 5. A wise man will what? Hear. Everybody see that? The very first thing, characteristic of a wise person, is that they know how to listen. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. For what reason? To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. In other words, this is how a wise man approaches the scripture. This is how a wise man approaches Proverbs. Does he listen? Will he be taught? He wants to be taught by what kind of people? Wise people. A wise person wants to become more wise. And it was that verse, believe it or not, when I first got saved, I was literally taught this by the man who led me to the Lord. He said, never trust anything that man writes. And what that meant, he said, don't read commentaries. You needed the Holy Spirit to teach you. I thought, man, that sounds pretty good. And I did that. And the Holy Spirit did illumine me to a lot of truth in the Bible. And one day, I read Proverbs. And I read this verse. And I said, the guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I want to be a wise man. So began my library. Okay. And I've been taught by many wise men. Okay. I'm a product, just like you are. I'm not a product of anything new. I'm a product of a lot of men who labored and taught. And so that was that. And then verse 7 is the foundation of being a wise man. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I'll just word it this way. If you're one of these people who says, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, well, guess which side of the coin you're on? Wise or fool? It's folly. Right? This thing of learning to love the Lord our God with our minds is lifelong. And I think we'll even be doing that in glory. So hopefully this gives you a little taste of the book and gives you a little excitement about what's coming ahead. Now, we all start off great. Okay? It's the endurance where we struggle with. So let's just determine by God's grace to endure, and we'll see what the Lord brings forth for us in the days ahead.